Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let the good times roll. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational at Infinite Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:38 at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the Promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time.
Are we playing
Texans?
That?
I haven't been asked.
I mean, at least we got to play last time, right? I'm just wondering if that continues or...
I don't know. It was kind of weird because we started the show like an hour and a half late.
Yeah. Joe had to fill in for us. That's right.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. It's tough. I wish we could play. I'm not sure, though. Texans, while we were arguing, signed a player. They signed Kingsley Jonathan. Nope. Sounds like I've never heard of him either. But it sounds like they got his first and last name backwards.
Yeah.
Like Jonathan Kingsley makes sense. Kingsley Jonathan doesn't feel right.
I agree with you. Yeah. Why do I seem to think that there was someone else named Kingsley, either in acting or sports? I'll have to look that up.
There's a Kingston Flemings committed to the University of Houston.
Okay.
But that's different. I'm sure there's been another Kingsley.
No?
No.
I'm going to not talk for a minute every time I hear that. That's what I'm going to do. A couple of texts.
No?
About the Bregman thing.
Uh-huh. Okay, you're actually going to do the minute thing, so. Brian's very happy about these cackling in there.
So that's all we have to do to get you to shut up now? Just play that drop? Joel, we need to keep that in our back pocket whenever he's getting a little sassy.
Is he timing it to be that?
I think he's now, literally pulled out a timer and he's timing it to a minute. So you got any hot takes you want to get off your chest while Jeremy's on his hiatus?
I mean, is it regarding the Texans signing a guy named Kingsley, or are we getting to the Super Bowl talk already?
We can get the Super Bowl talk.
I mean,
I think that's the next thing.
I think that aside from the prop bets and everything else, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think there's some money to be made in terms of, like, quarterback rushing yards. I mentioned it with Lee the other day.
Yeah.
I think there's
I like
some
the
good
quarterback
stuff.
Rushing totals for both guys.
I do, too.
And even right, I'm back. It's been a minute. Texture on the third baseman. Who's Should your third baseman? It would be Paredes if it's not Bregman,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Why does every Houston team make everything so difficult? It does feel that way. It feels like they never do easy right. You know, like
yes.
It's always round peg, square hole. I don't know. It's tough. I'd pay to see who wins the arguments in the Branham home. I'm willing to bet at home you lose, so you bully here. I don't argue at home. That's a fruitless endeavor. I know better than that. Texture says play it every minute, Brian. the Gallant thing. And then Kingsley Coleman is a Euro football player, apparently. Okay. I've never heard of that.
I don't think that's
name,
who it was either. And I thought there was someone else, but the Google search ain't coming up in my favor.
Ben
All right,
Kingsley?
Sorry.
There's
Ben
about?
Kingsley, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's had a lot of big roles, but that's not who I was thinking about.
Is that an actor?
Oh,
I think it's an actor.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I know his face. I didn't know that was his name. Well, what are your favorite storylines? Because I have two, and they're both quarterback related.
I think more so than anything else, it's for me, it's the whole can the Chiefs finish the deal and get the three-peat done, because of the fact that it so impacts history and it's such a big deal. And I know that they've tried to downplay it, but you can't downplay it. I mean, it's a major, major accomplishment. And the way, kind of like similar to how New England was able to change pieces along the way, although Brady stayed. This is kind of feels the same way, so that we can start having the conversation we had yesterday about how far can the Chiefs go to catch the Patriots as the greatest dynasty of all time. If they can pull this off, Reed stays the same, Mahomes stays the same, a lot of the other pieces change, Kelsey and Jones were there, but that's a big story. I think that's a big storyline.
Yeah, the three-peat's the most interesting for me, because I mean, we could watch something that's never been done in NFL history. So like that's pretty cool. That's pretty historic. It's probably why I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I think I want the Chiefs to win this game. So the three-peat, you know, what does it do for Mahomes' legacy if he is the first quarterback to three-peat? I think he would have the second greatest quarterback resume ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he would be second if he wins the titles.
He doesn't have as many, or does he ties for second most titles amongst quarterbacks?
Yeah, because Bradshaw has four.
Who?
Bradshaw has four.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then, yeah, I mean, and I think that statistically, he's probably already better than Bradshaw because didn't throw the ball that much. So, yeah, I think he moves up to two.
Yeah, and he would have the tiebreaker, too, to be the first quarterback to three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that matters. So, yeah, he would have the second greatest resume ever. Montana had four, too, right?
Yeah, Montana won four. Yeah, three with Wilson.
Would you have him ahead of Montana if he wins this?
Well, Pat's never lost a Super Bowl, right?
No, he lost to the Buccaneers, Brady's Buccaneers.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say,
but Montana went 4-0.
Because that's what I was going to say. The 4-0. One card that Montana carries is he's never lost in a Super Bowl.
Does that give him the – I feel differently about that. I feel because Mahomes has been to an extra Super Bowl that he would get the tiebreaker there. Like I think 4-1 is more valuable than 4-0, oddly enough.
4-1 is more valuable?
I would say so.
Oh, because he at least made five Super Bowls?
Yeah, because now you're talking about four Super Bowl wins, five Super Bowl appearances. I think four Super Bowl wins, five Super Bowl appearances is greater than four Super Bowl wins, four Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah, I mean I can see that point. I just think – you know, I think it's kind of – I think actually it's fruitless when we get into all these back and forth when it comes to, like, Jordan and LeBron and stuff because we don't – the criteria is different for everybody. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, and we discussed it yesterday. I thought the actual first trump card that Mahomes would carry is if he carries out a three-peat, he basically has that in his pocket against everybody but Brady until he gets to seven. If he gets to seven, then if he's got that in his back pocket, he surpasses Brady.
The second storyline I have is the Jalen Hurts angle of this. I think that Jalen Hurts, and I've probably been guilty of doing this at times myself, I feel like Jalen Hurts is criminally underrated. Criminally underrated. I think that Jalen Hurts is a borderline top five quarterback and gets treated more like he's a borderline top 10 quarterback. This is his second Super Bowl in 3 years, and if he wins this, like this would be legacy-changing for Jalen Hurts. So, like, that aspect of it from his point of view, I think is a massive storyline as well. And then when you look at, like, just look at his records. This is his fourth year as like, the guy, the everyday starter. 9-8, 14-3, 11-6, 14-3. I think that Jalen Hurts is severely underrated. And if he gets a Super Bowl, I think he goes up a stratosphere about how he's viewed relative to the other quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that from the standpoint – and look, I got crushed for a statement that I made early on because I didn't think Jalen Hurts was ever going to be the starting quarterback of a Super Bowl caliber team. And 2 and 3 years solidifies that. But it, you know, I agree with you that if he wins it, he definitely, for a lot of people that I know, Chris Canty and a lot they had a big back and forth about this, so like top five, top 10, whatever. He wins it, and he's got 2 and 3 years. I don't think that there's any way that anybody can say anything other than he is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in this league. And he, you know, he takes a beating, too. That's the thing. We talk about Lamar running. We talk about Josh Allen running. But he gets crushed a lot when he's running, and that hinders a lot of his abilities, like a couple of weeks ago in the playoffs. But, yeah, if he wins it, I definitely think it solidifies a lot for him.
Yeah, no doubt. See, on the what flip are the storylines you got?
I'm sorry. On the flip side, I think like from a Saquon perspective, that's another big storyline for me because of the fact that with the regular season that he put together and how he was so close to getting to Dickerson's record, now if he finishes it and puts the icing on, the cherry on top, wins the Super Bowl, and especially if he has a big game, that might be one of the best running back seasons, if not the best single season we've ever seen a running back put together.
It's weird because we don't look at other positions of having championship legacy like we look at quarterbacks, but Saquon's season that he's had, I think, is one that will live in running back lore. And I think that it should be elevated if he wins a title. Just like it's elevated if a quarterback wins a title, I think it should be elevated if a running back wins a title, especially when you're such a key focus. Like, if you were, you know, ran for 900 yards and you're an afterthought on the offense and, like, you're the fifth most important offensive player, that would be different. But because Saquon is the most important guy on their offense, I think he should get the added elevation if they do win it all. And then the storyline, too, of just, like, what do the Eagles do offensively to try to keep Mahomes off the field? I think they're going to try to feature Saquon a lot. But then you start getting into the cliches, like, yeah, whoever does better in the red zone. Hey, whoever does better on third downs. Like, yeah, like, you could say that about every single football game. What other storylines do you have? Brian, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of covered the, I think, the biggest ones. But another one I'm looking at is A.J. Brown. I mean, I think A.J. Brown, talent-wise, it to me is an elite wide receiver near the same tier, or maybe not the exact same tier, but close to the level of the top guys in the league with Chase and Jefferson. But he doesn't get that same sort of credit, I think, in part because whether it was in Tennessee where he was with Derrick Henry or here in Philly with, you know, obviously a low passing volume team with Jalen Hurts, he doesn't get the same sort of volume as those other guys, Chase and Jefferson. But if he's able to have a big game against the Steve Spagnuolo defense in the Super Bowl and, you know, post huge numbers in the Eagles' win of a Super Bowl, I think that might elevate Brown more into the conversation of being a top-tier wide receiver.
Yeah, I think
cool. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the coaches are the other storyline, both coaches. I think that from a Sirianni standpoint, similar to what we were talking about with Jalen Hurts, but even more so, we were talking about a guy that maybe, you know, because of his coordinators got to a Super Bowl that was basically all but going to be fired depending on what happened after he had a bad season last year. Now he's back. If he would win it, you know, he probably gets an extension and more money. And
buys himself 3 to 4 years.
And a whole lot more respect. And from the Andy Reid perspective, he's chasing Belichick for the all-time. Mm-hmm. But if he keeps riding this train and he gets another one like this, there, you know, then we start looking at how far can he go.
Yeah, I hated that you brought up that point.
About Sirianni?
It's disgusting. Yeah. I don't know if it's 4 years easy. That I hate Sirianni. But I have to give him credit. I have to give him credit. Like, this is his second Super Bowl appearance in the last 3 years. Like, I have to give you flowers. Like, I can't, like, continue to crap on the guy whenever you do that. Like, that's scoreboard. Like, scoreboard. Yeah, Peterson won in 17 and then was fired after the 20-year. So, like, it's tough.
3 years?
I would eliminate the four part of it. And I think he was fired midseason, too. So, I didn't even make it the third year, Brian.
Cool.
Nitpick, semantics, all that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP. Listener line. I wonder who is the fastest coach to get fired after winning a Super Bowl. Is it Jimmy Johnson? It might be Jimmy Johnson, actually.
It has to be, right? Wasn't he fired? Yeah. Like,
did he make it after? Through the following year?
I think he got one more year after because they went back to back. He got one more year left, and then Barry Switzer won it because they won 3 in 4 years in the fourth.
No. His last year was after winning back to back.
Oh, so he didn't even get another year.
So, yeah, maybe – I don't know if he, like, technically got fired or he resigned. I don't remember. That was kind of –
yeah, it could have been technically a resign.
So he kind of like got the James Click treatment. Win it, only win two, and then see ya.
That's nuts. That's crazy. Mm.
Things haven't changed in Dallas, huh?
Man.
Things never change.
Did you see – was it, like, the third string tight end for
they
the Chiefs?
They agreed to part ways. So it was, like, the same way McCarthy. Except McCarthy didn't have the winning.
Yeah. Did you see that the third string tight end for the Chiefs that used to play for the Cowboys just went out and just piled on in terms of, like, it's not about football and winning. It's about, like, everything that they were talking about during the season with Dalton Schultz and others. Like, he just piled on and was just like, yeah, they don't focus on – he goes, when I first got to Kansas City, it was all about football and winning, and it wasn't like that in Dallas. Like, eesh, not a good look.
Yeah, they're weird there. I would hate to be a fan of the Cowboys. Must be a miserable existence. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get the BZ money on the other side. Also, I want to take a look at the recent Super Bowl champions and then their path to eventually winning it all to kind of get an idea of where the Texans could be in a journey for a potential title. 713-780-3776. It's the BZ, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take a look at these Super Bowl champions in the last 15 years or so and see the buildup to them winning a Super Bowl at some juncture. But it's an Anything Goes Friday, right? It's just a Friday. So we'll do whatever you guys want us to do. You want us to argue, we'll do that. You want to make fun of us, we can do that. You want to call about the Texans, we weren't talking about the Texans, you can do that. 713-780-3776, and Eddie wants to do just that. Eddie, what do you got on the Texans?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Really appreciate y'all's insight. Listen to you guys almost every day, so thank you. Y'all were talking about the Texans, and I'm just curious, that, what are y'all's thoughts as to what's it going to take for us to really make an AFC championship game at the very least? You know, we were hoping this was kind of our year. We were considered to have the best wide receiver trio in the league. Obviously, injuries ran into that, but, you know, I'm excited about the new hire, for offensive coordinator, but just wondering what you guys think we really need to do beyond this new hire, and what's it going to take to get over the hump here to at least make an AFC championship game.
Appreciate Eddie. Thanks for listening. I mean, we've talked about it. I think all three of us are in agreement. I think priority one is the offensive line, and there's a million different ways that you could do it. But whether I don't think it's enough to just say the new regime of coaches are going to do it. I think some of the personnel has to change, but I think that they have to address that first and foremost and figure out a way to make that line better. And then I think that they have to add some weapons. We know that Diggs probably isn't going to be ready for the start of the year if he's a Texan and he's a free agent. So I think that, you know, they need to add two wide receivers in some combination between trade, draft, free agency. And I think that, you know, then along with some good draft picks, I don't think it takes that much more. But I'm also going to say that the other thing that with everybody you got to get through in the conference, you're probably going to have some luck too at a certain point. But yeah, I would start with the weapons with wide receivers after the offensive line.
Yeah, appreciate the kind words, Eddie. It makes me uncomfortable. I'd rather you insult me than be nice to me. But thank you nonetheless. To me, I think the defense is there. I think the defense could be a championship-level defense. They might have been there this year. With another year of development, I think they're there. Will Anderson into his third year. Stingley coming off an all-pro season. You know, Danielle Hunter didn't show any signs of aging to me. Like, he's kind of, like, still playing really, really well. You didn't have Christian Harris healthy this year. You know, maybe you make a shrewd move in the draft or free agency and you pick up a starter. Jalen Petrie was hurt at the end of the season, and I thought he was better as a nickel than he was as a safety. Like, it's in the realm of possibility that the defense is already championship good. So, to me, it's how do you get the offense to be top 10? Like, if you combine a top 10 offense with potentially a top 5 defense, can you win it all? Yeah, you mentioned a good fortune along the way. You're going to need a little bit of that, too. So, my focus is mostly on the offensive side of the ball. It's the reason that they fired Bobby Slowick, right? The offense is, if the offense isn't good enough, you're firing the coordinator. You're not firing the coordinator if you think the offense is good enough. So, they don't think the offense is good enough. They fired Bobby Slowick. Hire Nick Caley. What does that do with the offensive line? Is that good enough to fix the offensive line without wholesale changes? That's for them to decide. So, I would look mostly on the offensive side of the ball. You want C.J. Stroud to, like, I don't even know what to call a second year. Like, I guess regression is fine, but you don't, not only do you want him to overcome his regression, but you want him to also pick up in his third year where you expected him to be at the end of year one. Like, we all expected this incremental climb for C.J. Stroud to be better and better, right? Like, he finished his rookie year at a really high level. You're expecting progression and development in year two, even higher level. Year three, even higher level. It's why the whole, like, embrace the sucker. Because, oh, you have to go from 4 wins to 6 wins to 8 wins. No, it's usually not this steady climb. Usually there's ups and downs. But you're going to really need C.J. Stroud to become a top 7 quarterback in the NFL, and then he's going to need help at the skill positions. You can't do Nico Collins, John Mechie, and Xavier Hutchinson, so you're going to need help there. Like, maybe Dalton Schultz can be better with Caley, who's a, you know, tight ends coach. Maybe he can improve, but you absolutely have to have help at receiver.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian, what do you got? Anything?
Yeah, no, I think sometimes we fixate too much on fixing what's around C.J. Stroud rather than having the conversation of C.J. Stroud just as a player. And Jeremy kind of hit on it there at the end where he said he had to be a top seven quarterback. I mean, C.J. Stroud has to get to the point, if you're in a conference with Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, he has to be the type of quarterback that could put the team on his back and carry, you know, maybe a lesser than skill position group like Patrick Mahomes does if you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes. And that so far is the step that we haven't seen C.J. Stroud take. So far, I mean, he's got two playoff wins. It was against Joe Flacco, who threw multiple pick sixes, and Justin Herbert, who threw four picks. Like, he hasn't had, to me, in my opinion, the key playoff moment where he puts the team on his back and carries them to a playoff win. And until he shows that capability, they're not going to get to where we want them to go.
He needs help, though. Like,
no, I mean, he absolutely does. I think we just focus sometimes more on what's around him instead of, like, also having the conversations like, well, he also has to get better.
Yeah, he does. But you can help the quarterback get better without the quarterback even being better.
True.
If that makes any sense. I do think both things are going to have to happen if we're talking about this huge rise, though. Like, it absolutely probably all has to click if you're going to have this once-in-a-generation, oh-my-goodness, championship type of season. Which, if you look at the champions, like, in the last 15 years, and you look at the buildup prior to them winning their first, like, Mahomes has won three, the Chiefs have won three, but if you look at the buildup to when they win their first one in the 2019 season, they were in the playoffs four previous times without even getting to the Super Bowl, and then they break through. Now, Mahomes was a big factor in that because Mahomes was not there for that entire stretch. Lost in the divisional round, lost in the divisional round, lost in the wild card round, lost in the conference championship round with Mahomes, and then finally won it in 2019, and now they've won three in the last 5 years, have been to five now in the last 6 years. Look when the L.A. Rams won it, 2021. Now, they had Stafford, and they brought in Stafford after having Goff, but they were in the playoffs three of the previous 4 years. Lost in the wild card round, lost in the Super Bowl with Goff, missed the playoffs at 9-7, lost in the divisional round. Tampa Bay's kind of a weird thing because they brought in Brady. Like, they had not been to the playoffs since 2007. They made it in 2020 and won the Super Bowl. So maybe they're the exception to the rule of, like, this build to finally win a Super Bowl. Patriots, like, they won every Super Bowl, it feels like, but 2001 was their first one. They missed the playoffs in the previous 2 years, made the playoffs in the previous three. Philadelphia won their first one in 2017. They missed the playoffs in the previous 3 years. So it seems kind of random when you look at these Super Bowl champions. Like, it sometimes it feels like there's this incremental climb, but then for other teams, it's like, oh, they're all of a sudden good, and they have this ride to win it all.
Yeah, and I mean, it's and every situation is different. I just think from a Texans standpoint, we talked about the gauntlet that the AFC is. And that's no matter how good you make this roster, the fact that we've been sitting there talking about some of the things that you're talking about now in terms of what could be the greatest dynasty in NFL history when all is said and done, you don't want to end up being in a situation where you're the Utah Jazz and you're Stockton and Malone and all these talented teams that had all the talent in the world and maybe in a different era against – you know, you might have won multiple championships, but you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, and oh, by the way, Josh Allen ain't bad, and Lamar Jackson ain't bad, and neither is Joe Burrow. That's why I said you got to have some. You might have to have some luck on your side because there's a lot of talent in the conference.
Yeah, the other two guys aren't good in the playoffs, though. Josh Allen and Lamar. Like, Mahomes has had a tremendous amount of success. Burrow's had some success.
Allen's not good in the playoffs.
Allen's been good in the playoffs. Yeah, he's never won the AFC.
Okay.
He hasn't.
No, it's true. It's just this argument would fracture too much or go too long, but I disagree.
Okay. He's never won the AFC. I think I have scoreboard when it comes to Josh Allen. Let's get to BZ Money.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
All right, BZ Money. Today's going to be a little awkward doing BZ Money. There's only one game. There's literally one game. But let's start with the spread in this one, which I saw earlier today that it got to a pick'em. Mm-hmm. The current spread right now at ESPN.com is a pick'em. Which side of this do you like, Lakers?
I like the Chiefs side of this, and I've seen and heard things where they said some of the whales that are betting in the big money is going Philadelphia's way, that they think that right before game time or sometime between now and game time, it's going to get to where the Eagles are going to be favored by a point. I like the Chiefs. We've talked about this previously. I just feel like this is the next big carrot for them. Yeah, they've been there, done that. They can do all these things. But now they've got even more motivation with this chance to do what no one else has done. I think they're playing really good football. I think that, you know, Spagnuolo's going to have a plan for Saquon, and I believe that the Chiefs are going to win the game. So I like the Chiefs on this one.
I feel like if this is a close game, the Chiefs win. I feel like if it's a blowout, the Eagles win, which great analysis there, Branham. But I feel like the Chiefs play close games. I feel like they have, they control the ball. Eagles will get some explosive plays here and there, but the Chiefs defense is good. I'm with you. I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I think it's going to be an ugly game, quite frankly. I think the Chiefs eke out the win.
Yeah, no, I don't like the idea of the Chiefs needing extra motivation when a Super Bowl's on the line. But I'm going to pick the Eagles regardless. I like the Eagles when it was plus one. I still like them here in a pick 'em. I just think, look, obviously Patrick Mahomes could be the great equalizer in the one single factor that takes us over the top, despite what you have from the other 21 starters on both teams. But I just look at these two teams. Other than quarterback, I think the Chiefs or the Eagles basically have an advantage everywhere. I think they have the better defense, they have the better receivers, they have the better running backs. I just think this Eagles team is far superior. The Chiefs have been living off too many close victories, and they've finally met a team I think that can match them talent-wise. I think this is the Eagles win by, I don't know, 5 to 6 points.
What extra motivation? That they're underdogs?
No, Joel mentioned like the extra motivation of going for the three-peat.
Oh.
For the Chiefs, yeah.
If anything, maybe it could go the other way. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's extra motivation. It could be. Like, it could be if it's channeled properly. It could also be the stress of it, right? And they're a little tight. Could go either way, I guess. I don't think that they're gaining anything there, though. But I also don't think they're losing anything there either. So, two against one there. How much money do we have left in our bankroll here, Brian?
I don't know if we updated that for the conference championship games, but I have us at 1260.
So it sounds 260 good. Up, yep.
So let's blow it all this week. We don't need to turn a profit here.
Right.
260? Are you saying legit all in?
Well, we don't want to burn Gal's money and then get on the hot seat, so we can just burn the 260.
I don't have a problem burning his money. I think we have a good severance package here. But we're torn on the game.
Yeah, I did finish in last place, though, and you guys are both on the Chiefs, so.
You want to go like 100 on the Chiefs?
Sure.
Straight up pick them? Okay, sure. let's play the total here as well. The over-under, as of right now, is 48.5. What side of that do you like, Blankers?
Kind of like the over.
Really? I feel strongly oppo.
Really? You think it's going to be like
grinded
out?
Jeremy mentioned like the ugly nature of it. You got two strong defenses. I know Patrick Mahomes hasn't turned the ball over in the playoffs in a really long time. The Eagles don't throw the ball a whole lot to turn the ball over. But this just feels like a team where, or a matchup where the strengths of both teams or their defenses. I think this is going to be, you know, this has the feel of like a 2017 game. I think this is under comfortably.
I have 24-20 Kansas City. So I'm not too comfortable with the under, but I am on the under side of it. By 4.5 points, that is a significant amount. So I like the under side of it, too.
Well, you guys take that one.
We'll go 100?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
100. Any prop bets that you boys like?
I like a couple. I think the rushing yards are interesting, and I think that the Kelce yards are interesting. They got Kelce at 59. The last I saw was 59 yards receiving. I just feel like in a game like this, he's going to get over 60 yards receiving. And Mahomes, that's his security blanket. I like Kelce over 60 yards.
Yeah, I like that side of it too. Taylor Swift's going to be in attendance. That always fires him up. He's always at a different level when Taylor Swift is in town. So he'll get a boost there. Plus, it's championship Kelce. I feel like championship Kelce always has over 60 yards. I like the over of that one too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that over. I I don't know if it's a slam dunk, but I'm fine with it. 60 is like the number I just saw was 61.5. I think you said 59.5, so yep. Pretty close either way. Mm-hmm. But I feel that's a low enough number that I'm comfortable betting on it.
Okay, how much you want to get?
7,500.
Whoa, okay. Mm. I mean, that's a lot. I was going to say like more like 30.
I was thinking, yeah, I was going to say 25. So.
Yeah, 25, 30?
Yeah,
I'm
not 75. Yeah, I know, but I'm still playing as if it's real.
I'd like to be like real in terms of winning at the end of the year instead of down.
You guys put your Monopoly money in a mutual fund or what?
Sometimes it's amazing what that stuff
depends
can
on
do
how
with
the market
right
reacts.
I like the Devontae Smith number. Where is it at? That
last
that
I saw was 50.5. I know Lee
like
was
over
all
there.
Over that yesterday as well. So
of all the prop bets Lee mentioned, I didn't like any of them except for that one. I like the Devontae Smith to go over 50 yards.
Yeah, I'm big on that one as well. I think Lee mentioned the previous three times, or maybe it's the only three times Devonta Smith has faced the Steve Spagnuolo defense. He's been north of 90 yards, and the line's only 50.5. I mean, the past three matchups don't necessarily mean anything, but I think this is significant. You know, the Chiefs are going to focus on A.J. Brown and Saquon. I think Devonta Smith is going to have a big game.
I'm fine with it. I mean, I don't want to go to a big number, but
100.
If you guys,
100.
You guys feel strongly about
$97.50. Early bird special.
I see what you did there.
You guys roll with it. You guys are in agreement.
The other prop bet I like is for the coin toss to land on tails.
Is this a tails
coin toss to land
narrative?
On tails? Tails never fails, and then also Kansas City to win it. So whatever side you like of that, I like coin toss tails, Kansas City to win the toss.
I don't know. I feel like at the point we're gambling on the coin toss, it's time to call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Yeah, I'm not big on
how
those.
How do you
things.
Know the number by heart?
Because it was in my underdog reads
it
for,
I figured
for
it
a couple
was
months.
A read.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Yeah. Promo code BMAC.
Yeah, but we're getting even money on this. I feel like it's this is better than any bet you get against the house in the casinos.
Yeah, I guess. I just
not
I,
when you
I
do it
know.
Through a bookie, but when you do it through BZ Money, you do.
right.
The,
yeah, they're not paying a big with BZ Money. I guess I'm fine with the tails never fails narrative.
I'll go tails as well.
Anything else y'all like?
I got a couple. I mean, I think I like Hurts over 34.5 yards rushing.
Ooh, that's high.
And I like Mahomes more than 5.5 rushing.
5.5?
Yeah. Well, you mean
that's
rushing attempts?
Low.
Rushing attempts. Rushing attempts.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
You meant yards.
No, rushing attempts. Rushing.
You said you have him higher than 5?
I think he's going to run it more than 5 times.
Huh.
Yeah,
I'm
more like the yardage for Mahomes. I see it at 29.5.
I got 29 as well, yeah.
29.5 is the number I've got. I would more bet that one because he could get it on 2 runs, and I don't have to have the total attempts for
so
it.
Let's go that route.
But, yeah, I like both are fine.
Dang. Mahomes ran it 11 times against Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I saw this stat
seven
early.
Times against the Texans. I like that, too.
I saw this stat early in the day. It wasn't from Lee, but in the previous 4 Super Bowls from Mahomes, he's gone over on his rushing line in all 4 games.
I like both overs. So if you guys just want to play one of them, pick the one you like better. If you
I lean yardage.
I lean carries.
That's why I started it with 5 points.
Let's do both at 50. Let's do both at 50.
Okay.
Since like $100 has been
that's
our
fair.
Normal bet, let's okay. kind of like hedge it at 50 on each.
That's fair.
What was the Hurts one?
Hurts is 34.5 yards rushing. But the one I like more is an anytime touchdown. I just think with the tush
or?
Push. Yeah, rushing.
Well, rushing or receiving.
Rushing or receiving, but at any time touchdown on Jalen Hurts with the tush push on the goal line or an interference in the end zone, I think they're going to get that.
How many yards was it again?
34.5 rushing.
He went above 34.5 in 5 games in a row prior to the Washington game, which they blew out Washington, and he was kind of dinged up.
Yeah, he was dinged up.
Where do we think his health is at?
I think this time off has helped him a lot.
I think so, too. I like the over here, too.
Yep.
I like that one a lot. Hundo?
I'm in on that.
I'm good with that.
Did you like both the yards and the carries or just the yards?
On Hurts, I was just on the yards.
Okay, let's do 100 on the yards.
All right,
how much money do we have left?
That's all I have.
I have no idea. I haven't been keeping track of how much we bet.
What other ones do you have, Brian?
I like the under on Kareem Hunt's total rushing yards. I have it at 42.5. I mean, one, you're going to have Mahomes running a little bit. You're going to have, obviously, Isaiah Pacheco work into the game. And the Eagles' run defense has been fantastic. I don't see Kareem Hunt getting over 42.5.
That one sounds good to me.
I agree with that.
How about a quarter?
Yeah, that's
good.
Yep.
I'm good with that.
Do we have a Taylor Swift prop bet for funsies?
I could find one.
Well, they got a number of like how many times she's going to be on camera?
Yeah, probably.
Didn't she have a collab with Kendrick Lamar where they were betting whether she was going to be part of the halftime show or not? I don't think she is.
I don't think she will either. Like, she's going to be hanging out in the suite. She's not going to work. Like, she's going to be watching her boo. You know what I mean?
And we know her former bestie ain't going to be in the suite with her.
They have how long will the Trump interview be with Fox? 14 and a half minutes.
Ooh.
That seems pretty long. But they're starting it super early, so they're going to have like a runway.
I see a prop on who will be the first to post on social media after the game, Taylor Swift or Donald Trump. Trump is a -500 favorite.
Trump's going to be there.
So I know. Going to be there.
Okay.
I know, but I think this is the first time a sitting president has been at a Super Bowl, I believe.
Oh,
is
really?
It?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No,
ever?
I think so. I think I heard Paul and Joe back that up.
I mean, maybe. Again, it's posting on social media. I don't know about.
I would assume Trump's going to tweet all game.
Probably.
Well, he's going to truth. But yes.
That's crazy to me that there's never been a sitting president at a Super Bowl.
No.
I've been at a football game with a sitting president.
I've been at a basketball game with a sitting and a former president.
Who was your sitting one?
Obama.
What game?
We were in D.C.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And then
I was
the elder Bush. Actually, both Bush, but the elder Bush was a pretty. He would come to Rockets games quite a bit.
W. Bush went to a U of H SMU game at Moody a few years ago, and then the sitting president football game I was at was Army Navy when Trump's first term.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I have pictures of it. He was like, I mean, like 100 feet of him.
Huh. I've got a few more Trump prop bets if we're interested.
Sure.
What will be higher, Trump's weight, 215, or Jalen Hurts' passing yards?
Trump's only 215?
That's what it's according to BetOnline.
He's not stepping on the scale to prove it right or wrong.
I don't believe that.
There's no weigh-in to get in the game.
I think he's higher than 215. I think this is being generous, but that's what they have him listed at.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't want to bet that one.
All right.
I think Hurts will be under, but I don't feel great about it.
Okay, how about, let's see. What will be higher, Donald Trump's age, 78, or A.J. Brown receiving yards?
Age.
And then, let's see, we have...
I'll put a quarter on that one.
We have, what will be higher, Donald Trump approval rating on February 10th, or total points scored in Super Bowl 59?
Approval rating.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on the game, so I agree with that.
That's probably true.
What was the date on it? February 9th?
February 10th. So Monday.
I mean, his approval rating is probably pretty high right now, isn't it?
I think so.
This close to the turnover from, the election, I would assume so.
All the executive orders and stuff, like, I imagine it's over 50%. Like, I feel like that's the thing to play.
I think it's definitely over 50% right now.
Like, why play the over-under when you could play that?
Yeah, that one feels fairly easy. Yeah. Nothing's a gimme, but it feels fairly easy.
Like, I feel like we should middle that. Like, play the over on the points and then the under on that.
I wish it listed the odds for that one, but it just has it as a straight bet.
Yeah, that's interesting. No Taylor Swifties?
I'm still trying to find that email.
All right, whatever. We got to move on. Taylor Swift is not making the cut today. We got to get to that stupid game. Who said it? Brian's going to be out for vengeance today. You already know that he is. But Blankers and I have had good chemistry today, so I like our chances. Who said it with the Killer Bees coming up next on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Princess doesn't have Who Said It ready, so we'll get to that at the top of the hour. Probably stacking the deck. Calling you a princess. He's probably stacking the deck against us, though, Blankers.
Interesting.
Well, he said he's coming back with a vengeance. He's kind of made a couple of references. So, you know, he said he let us off easy last week, so we'll see.
That has never been said.
Changes, some audibles.
He said you took it easy on him.
I didn't say that. That was never
said. After I said we won last week, the other day.
Go to the tape.
Well, you'd have to tell me when it was first, but that was never said.
It's last Friday. after we played it.
I will comb through that last hour and a half.
You said, I thought you said
see,
it
I'm listening.
Course of this week.
Oh, this week. Maybe I'm not listening. So what's the plan if Mixon were to get banged up for a while? Is it Pierce or a running back in the offseason? I think Pierce is going to be RB2, is my guess.
I think, again, kind of changing the scheme, I think, could go be very, very beneficial if Pierce is your backup. But you and I talked about this the other day, that I would not be against and opposed to them finding whether it's a third down back and or a combination guy that can also be the backup running back in the draft.
Yeah, I do want a running back in the draft, but I want that to be like a third down back, eventually take over for Pierce, because Pierce would be in his fourth year next year, right?
Yes.
That would be his fourth year.
Correct.
So that's his final year of the deal, and I'm not re-signing Damian Pierce. So I'm drafting a running back. He's probably going to be my backup in two seasons, and he might even be my starter in two seasons. But plus, it'd be dynamic. Like, all these teams have multiple running backs. So I do want a running back in the draft, but I will say that Pierce will be RB2. Texter says Allen can't beat Watson. I don't know if, that's true. He didn't. He didn't beat Deshaun Watson. He's 0-1 lifetime against Deshaun Watson in the playoffs. Another texter asked, what is Josh Allen's playoff record? What is it, like, one game above 500, I think is what it was? Is it like 6-5 or something? 7-6. 7-6. Josh Allen in the playoffs. One game above 500. Ain't going to get it done. Texter, hard to beat the refs and Goodell. Chiefs win. Goodell won't let his golden boy lose. It really doesn't matter, though, right? Like, at this point, it doesn't matter if he wins. Like, how does that improve the ratings? How does that help the NFL if the Chiefs win?
I don't know. It's like T.O. What was T.O. the one saying? That it's all scripted and rigged and fixed. And it's like, well, if it was, would it really be Kansas City that the league would be banking on and doing all this stuff for? I mean, yeah. I don't buy any of that.
I don't think it moves the needle in terms of the profit margin for the NFL at all, who wins this game. Like, it'd be a better argument of, like, Kansas City to the Super Bowl because it helps the rating. Okay, I could listen to that a little. Don't believe it, but that makes a little bit more sense than them winning once they got here, because it's not an extra game to play. Now, I guess if I'm reaching here and really playing devil's advocate, you could say that fans love dynasties. They like dynasties, so they can root against the dynasties. Leads to more viewers.
Do they, though?
I don't think so.
I think people are tired of the Chiefs.
Don't jump on me. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Oh, because I was going to say, I think everything that I've heard of is outside of Kansas City, the majority of the United States is pulling for the Eagles because they want the underdog and they don't like the dynasty.
Well, I think that, like, I do think that dynasties lead to more people watching. Like, you want the big name brand on TV. And I do think that when you have a dynasty, it helps the big name brand.
Maybe so. I mean, like, they don't need help, right?
But that's the thing with the NFL. You don't need help. Like, college basketball, like, the Blue Bloods always draw more ratings. Yeah. But that's a little bit more of a niche sport.
Like, the Final Fours that always end up in Houston, at least a lot. The one where you had Butler and you had all the underdogs and you're going – or the other one where you had San Diego State and a bunch of underdogs and you're like, yeah, obviously for ratings, if you're just looking at it from a ratings perspective, then you want the Blue Bloods.
Or the NBA, too, though. Like, I mean, yeah. I think the Bulls dynasty was good for ratings. I think the Golden State dynasty was good for ratings. Obviously, the big market teams are good for ratings. Same thing with baseball. Like, you get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, that's going to be good for ratings over Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Can you imagine OKC and Cleveland in the finals this year in the NBA?
Ooh. Oh, that would not be good.
Not at all.
That would be bad. Ooh. NBA would not like that.
Nope.
Silver would not like that. Princess, do you have who said it ready?
Yeah, it's been ready.
Okay, good. Let's take a break. We'll get back to that the game everybody calls Who Said It. It's next, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.